Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Well, today I'm excited as I'm closing out a little sermon series that I've been doing about reclaiming your imagination, about understanding our imagination and how it can be a gift from God, of how God wants to use your imagination. You know, we talked about, by the way, all of these are available on our podcast channel, FWC B-Town. You can go back and listen on podcast or, of course, find it on Facebook to go back and listen to the whole series. But we talked about in the beginning how God had given some dreams and visions, right? And said to your young men, they'll have visions, and old men will have dreams. And we began to talk about it because it said at that time, and that scripture said that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Again, the Lord wasn't leaving out anyone when he said, I'm going to give you dreams and visions. He says, I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and you will have this ability. But you know, oftentimes people don't operate in the things that God gives them. You know, God pours out and gives you certain gifts, and sometimes we hold back because we think, well, you know, someone else is a little better at that than me. Someone else, you know, may have more knowledge at that than me. And we just don't understand the gift that God has given us. So we began to look at how God said he would pour out his spirit on all flesh and that they would have dreams and visions. We began to break it down and realize the thing that is stifling us from having a dream and vision from God is oftentimes our imagination. Oftentimes the things that hold us back is our imagination. Because your imagination will either fuel your faith or your fear. Anybody ever seen your things come up and you begin to get fearful of it? You begin to imagine the worst. We tell people, don't think of the worst. But a lot of times it's our imagination that begins to run, and people begin to think of the worst scenarios, the worst things that could happen, instead of the best. But how many know God wants the best for his people? So it's time that our imagination lines up with the things of God, and it fuels our faith. Amen? We have seen in this series that our imagination should reflect the image of our Creator. Our imagination should reflect the image of our Creator. He created us to have an imagination. And last week we talked, most importantly, we saw how necessary it was that we take our thoughts captive and filter them through the truth of God's Word and not the lies of the enemy. Amen? How many know the enemy wants to lie to you? Everything he wants to do is lie to you. So when you hear something, you have to say, is that a truth from God's Word or is that a lie from the enemy? You know, some people aren't going to like you, and that's okay. But they may say something bad about you. They may talk negative of you. And you have to take that and filter that through the Word of God and say, is that what God says about me? Or is that what the enemy says about me? You know, because your imagination is what runs. Well, you know what? I think of this of them. We begin to think of all these things, but we have to take those thoughts captive. How difficult is it to take our thoughts captive? Anybody try to take their thoughts captive this week? Amen. Hello, I had to. I had some thoughts I had to take captive this week, you know? You know, sometimes you just got to take some thoughts captive. You know, you have that thought and all of a sudden it starts to run, starts to get legs, starts to get momentum. And you have to, oh, hold on. I'm going to take this thought captive and apply the Word of God to it and say, what is God saying about this situation? What does God want me to know about this situation? Amen? Mark Twain said, you can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus. That's a different way of thinking about it. You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus. So hopefully today we can learn how to focus. Amen? Today the title of this sermon is to reclaim our imagination. To reclaim it. You know, we've been taught, and I talked about this week one. Sometimes people say, well, you know, imagination is for kids. You have too vivid of an imagination. Stop daydreaming. all these things. And oftentimes people that speak negative of the things that you dream about and think about is because they don't have a godly imagination. They're living in a world that is pessimistic. They're not optimistic because, you know what? They don't know Jesus and they have no hope. Do you know that God is our only hope? He is our only salvation. Someone can be a good person all day long, but you got to have Jesus to have hope. Amen? So today we're going to learn what God intended our imagination to be. Last week we ended with a scripture that I want to begin with today, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth." Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If your mind is set on things above, on the things of God, what would you imagine? What would you begin to imagine if you truly were set on the things of God? Would you begin to imagine the blind being healed? The deaf being healed? Would you begin to imagine that? I mean, if our mind was set on things above, would every time we saw someone that was deaf or blind, would we just have this desire rise up and imagine them healed? Oh, I think if our mind was set on things above, those that we saw suffering, those that we saw in pain, we would want to see healed, right? Would you begin to envision a crusade where hundreds or even thousands of people were coming to know Jesus? Oh man, if your mind was set on things above, would you desire to see thousands of people come to know the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. But you know, I mean, you'd have to imagine it. You'd have to begin to see that happen. And then it creates a desire in you to see that happen. You know, you got to create that desire inside of you to see these things happen. Would you imagine the Lord using you to help those with lost identities get free? Those that were addicted being set free from drugs and alcohol. Can you begin to imagine it? What would it look like if your mind was set on things above? That's what you would begin to imagine. You would have a desire for the lost. You would have a desire for those that are hurting. You would have a desire for those that are brokenhearted. Do you know, oftentimes in Scripture, when Jesus went about and performed a miracle, it said that he had compassion on them. Why? His mind was set on things above. He was about his Father's business, he said. You know, oftentimes we're not about our Father's business. We're about our own business. But if we're about our Father's business, do we see someone hurting like Jesus and have compassion on them and want to see something change in their life? Oftentimes, you know, we take the approach, not my problem, right? We go, oh, that's not my problem. I don't have to deal with that. You know, I'm on some different boards in the community, and one of the boards we're on, we talk about the homeless problem in Bardstown. And you know what? There are some that are sitting here today that go, we got a homeless problem in Bardstown. And the reason why is because we go, not my problem. So we don't even envision what's happening around us. There's so much happening around us that we're not aware of because our minds are set on what we are about each day. Well, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I go here to there. That's all I do. And we're just so set and focused on what we've got to do. But sometimes we don't even realize what's happening around us. You know, the state of the world or the state of our community. But, you know, as our mind changes and gets set on things above, all of a sudden God begins to bring things into our pathway, into our light, that we can have compassion for, that we can have empathy for, and begin to have that desire and imagine, oh, what could God do in this situation? What could God do in this situation? You know, what what would it be that you would imagine? How do you want God to use you? As we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we talk about how each person is used and has a unique gift that is special to them. Of how we need hands and we need feet and we need mouths and we need all of these different parts that make up the body of Christ. Without the gift of helps, without those that have unique gifts that God has given you, we wouldn't be who we are in the kingdom of God, right? You know, I sit and sometimes I imagine. I sit back and I just imagine, what if the light bulb went off in everyone's mind and they understood the power that the Lord has given them? That's what I imagine. I sit back sometimes and I look at each and every one of you. And as I began, you know, in my prayer time, you know, I like it when y'all sit, and you know, in the same kind of seats. You know, and you're creatures of habit anyway, so people always do it, you know. I like it because what I'm able to do is I get up here on Sunday morning and I scan that room, but then on Monday I go back and I can pray the same way. You know, my dad taught me that. It's something he always did. You know, you'd be able to go back and scan the room and you began to think, was someone there? Was someone not there? And it wasn't because, do I need to pray for them? Is something going on in their life? And began to pray for them. But as I scan the room, I can begin to pray. And as I do that, I think, oh man, if they would understand the power that God has in store for them. Oh, if that light bulb would go off. Man, what could they do for the kingdom of God? You know, oftentimes I scan and I look across this room and I see so many that I know you have such a great potential to reach so many people that I can't reach. And I'm like, man, if they would just understand, if the light bulb would go off, that's what I imagine. I began to imagine how God wants to use each and every one of you in your gift. That's what I imagine. I sit and I just think about it. And as my mind is set on things above, I'm not thinking about how much money can they make that they'll give to the church. That's not, how much can they reach people that are lost? Man, there's people here today that have special gifts and abilities to speak to those that are bound by drugs and alcohol and speak hope into their life and set them free. You have a gift. Some have the gift and ability to speak to marriages and see them just come together and flourish. God has given you that ability. There are some that God has given you that compassion that when you see someone hurt, sick, lame, that you have a compassion for them and just want to pray for them. God has given that. Some, I was talking to someone this week that has the heart of an evangelist. And he was preaching in a hard situation recently. And as he's talking to me about him preaching in this situation, and I was watching his videos and stuff, and I asked him, I said, how do you do that? Brother Lou, you'd like this guy. You know, you would identify with him as being an evangelist, but, you know, that's not my gift. And so he was talking, and he said, it was great. I only got a couple water bottles thrown at me. You know, there wasn't that many people that cussed me out. He said, it was awesome. And I'm like, what? Just a couple water bottles thrown at you? I mean, and he was excited about that. And I'm going, man, someone throws a water bottle at me, right? I'm going to take that thought captive. Because, hello, I'm not the only one. You know, some of you be, before they even throw the water bottle, you're throwing the water bottle, you know? We need people to have those gifts. And when their mind is set on things above, they have a desire to see those that are lost come to know Jesus. We should all have that desire. We should all work toward that goal. Because we are all carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. But, you know, there's certain people that have that special gift and ability of evangelism. Because their mind is set on things above. Everyone they meet, they want to know if they know Jesus. Man, I love that. I know many of you in the church have those kind of gifts. But what is it that you sit and imagine? Do you begin to imagine those being healed? Miraculous miracles. God doing wonderful things here. People getting up out of wheelchairs. Blind eyes open. Deaf ears open. Do you imagine those things? If you don't imagine them and begin to believe that God can do them, you won't see them. You got to have your mind set on things above. Amen? I'm going to have you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I know many of you have heard many sermons come out of this passage of Scripture. But again, I felt like the Lord was showing me something, and I want to share it with you this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. If you'd like to switch that translation on your phone or iPad. Starting in verse 3. And I'm in 18. I knew that wasn't the right one. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Just pause right there for a moment. Did that invoke your imagination? The Bible was so descriptive. And did you not begin to see Goliath? Did you not think of the biggest person you know and go, man, 9 foot tall? That's a big guy. Did you begin to think of this coming at you? And did your imagination fuel your fear or your faith? Oh, when we see something like that coming at us, and we begin to see and hear the armor and all that he had, go, wow, I understand why the forces of Israel were afraid of this guy. Because our imagination began to see how mighty and how big the obstacle was in front of us. How many of you know, I know that many of you have obstacles in front of you in your life. And oftentimes we look and we see how big they are. We see how big those obstacles are. We provide the description to that obstacle. We begin to say, man, it's big. It's impossible. We use those words to apply to obstacles in our life instead of all things are possible with God. We begin to look at situations when the doctor gives a diagnosis. Our imagination begins to put the descriptiveness to it. Oh, I've seen other people get really sick. I've seen other people suffer. I've seen this. There's no hope. We began to imagine the worst. We don't begin to imagine what God can do. And just like this, all of these that had seen Goliath began to see how big he was. I thought it was interesting that it said the forces of Israel. They didn't even see how big they were, but they were mighty. Jump down to verse 22. I'm going to jump down to verse 22. It said, we know the story, so I'm not reading the whole thing. You know that they were there fighting Goliath, and here comes David. And it says, David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks, and David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen this giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying tax. David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will the man get for killing this Philistine? I want you to catch that. What will he get? David didn't begin to let his imagination run on how big Goliath was. David began to imagine the reward. He said, I've seen the king's daughter. Woo, she's good looking. Right? He began to say, oh, she got to marry me? You know, this ruddy little shepherd boy, she gonna have to marry me? You know, I get to put her on my arm? I mean, David began to imagine something. Huh? Hello. He began to let his imagination run to the reward. What will he get? Well, start again. Start over. Tell me again what he said. If you look through this passage, David gets a couple clarification points on his reward. He oftentimes wanted to go back to it. What do I get again? Now, you ain't lying to me, are you? This ain't some kind of trick. If I go out there and I fight this guy and I actually can win, you know, I'm going to get all of this from the king. He began to imagine his reward. And it says, what will this man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply. Yes, that is the reward. That's why I know the reward was so important to him. They kept re-emphasizing it. That is the reward. You know what? I think we do a pretty bad job of imagining the reward that God has for us. I don't think we do a good job of imagining what God has in store for his people. Matthew 6, 19 through 20 says, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal. But store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Right? Because see, we began to imagine the reward of what we get in this life. And we store up those treasures. Right? We began to imagine, man, I just want my house to look this way. I just want a new house. I want a big house. I want a new car. I want a pool. I want to go on vacation. And you know what? All those things are fine in context. All those things are fine. I want the people of God to be blessed and have great things. And you know what? I believe God wants you to have nice things too. Amen? But when our focus and our imagination is on the things we want on earth and not on the things that we want to store up in heaven, we're missing the point. Our imagination is not set on things above, but it's set on things of the earth. It's time that we make a shift in our focus and set our mind on things above. It doesn't mean that you don't get great things while here on earth, but we are storing up treasures in heaven. The problem is we can't imagine what heaven is going to look like yet. We haven't let our mind begin to think and focus on what heaven is going to look like. And I want to encourage you, write this down, Revelations chapter 21. I want you to go back and read Revelations 21 this week because I want you to reclaim your imagination. Revelations chapter 21 begins to talk about streets of gold. Oh, it begins to talk about pearly gates and crystal seas. You know what? It begins to talk about no pain, no death, no suffering. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine that? It begins to talk about a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. Hallelujah. I mean, but you know what you got to do? You got to read that and you got to let your imagination be set on things above. You got to begin to see that and say, get excited about your reward. We're not focused on our reward. We're focused on the trials of life. We're focused on the issues that we're going through right now. We're focused on that trouble that's ahead instead of focused on the reward that God has for us when we have fought the good fight and finished the race. Right? Oh, you got to begin to imagine the reward. You got to begin to see the reward that God has for his people. You know, Muhammad Ali said, the man who has no imagination has no wings. Oh, if you have no imagination, you have no wings. You'll never go anywhere. You'll never amount to anything. Why? Because you can't imagine it. Man, if right now is the best that you can imagine, it's all you'll ever get. You got to begin to imagine there's better for you. You got to begin to imagine that God has something in store for you. If you're sick in your body, God can heal you, But you got to begin to see that healing. You got to begin to believe it. You got to begin to stand on it. Well, how do you know, Pastor? Because I've been there. I've had bad reports from doctors, right? They've told me I wouldn't be able to do things. I would live with pain the rest of my life. I refused to believe it. I began to imagine myself running when they told me I would never run again. I began to imagine it. There were times when I went to that track, I didn't just imagine it from my couch. Boy, it's real easy to imagine yourself running from your couch, isn't it? Watching Forrest Gump. You know? No. I went to the track, and I sat at the track, and I watched other people run on the track and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be able to run again. Why? Because I began to imagine what I wanted. I began to imagine what I knew God could give me. I had to put myself in a place that I could imagine the things that God had for me. But you got to change. You got to change your scenery sometimes. You can't be sitting there imagining the worst. Because if you watch the news, you're going to imagine the worst. You're going to begin to see things that are depressing. You know? I don't do that. Because I'm not going to let the things of this world clip my imagination, clip my wings. I'm going to believe for the things of God. I believe God can do big things. I believe he can do big things in you. I believe he can do big things in this church. I believe he can do big things right here in Bardstown. I believe that he can put us on the map, and not because we're the bourbon capital of the world. I believe that he wants to pour out his spirit here, and it flows to the ends of the earth. Amen? But you got to begin to imagine it. You got to begin to see it. Jump down with me to verse 45, 1 Samuel 17, 45. When David went out, he replied to the Philistine, You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Well, he began to imagine something, didn't he? He was speaking something into existence. He's looking at this 9-foot-tall giant, and he says, the Lord is going to conquer you because I know who's on my side. But I am imagining myself standing in the battle, and when I'm done, I'm going to cut off your head. Oh, he had a good imagination, but he saw it to the end. We have to have an imagination and know that God is on our side. He began to say, you know, I know God will provide the victory. If you're here today, I want you to know God will provide the victory for the things you need. God will deliver you and set you free. He wants to set his people free. He wants you walking in prosperity. He wants you walking in health. He wants you to be successful. He wants good things for your children. That's what God wants for you. But oftentimes we look at the battle and we think the battle's too hard. We don't realize that the battle was already won, that the battle was God's. We're just standing in place, just like David. I'm just going to step forward. I'm just going to get in place. But even though the Lord's going to win it, I'm imagining myself the victor because I'm going to cut off that thing's head. We got to sometimes take authority over the things that have been tormenting you and say, I know the Lord has given me victory, but I'm going to cut it off. I am going to stop this thing from tormenting me and my family. We got to set our mind on things above. Man, when your mind is set on things above, all of a sudden those obstacles that you're looking at look a little smaller. See, when you're faced with the obstacle, you're looking at it and it looks big in front of you, right? But when you can see, when your mind is set on things above, you look down on those obstacles, just like God does. He's looking down on it. And he says, it's under your feet. All you have to realize is put it into perspective of where it is. It's under your feet. It's under your feet. Verse 47 says, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. but not with sword and spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you to us. Oh, hallelujah. Our obstacles can begin to diminish when we set our mind on things above. But I hear oftentimes about how hard and how the trials of life are what we face because we're focused on the obstacle. We're focused on the trial, not on things above. But when you begin to reclaim your imagination, when you begin to reclaim and see how God sees you and how God sees the situation, your perspective changes. Your perspective changes. We've seen other stories of the same thing. You've heard the story of Joshua and Caleb, right? They went to spy out the enemy's camp. And they said, those with them said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. They had imagination of defeat. They saw themselves small. But Joshua and Caleb, what did they see? They began to imagine the reward. But did you see the fruit in the land? Did you see what we can have if we take them and God gives us the victory? You got to begin to see and imagine the reward God wants for you. I can see it for you all day long, but that does nothing. Besides letting me encourage you a little bit in your faith and plant a little bit of seed and water it a little bit and give you a little bit of word, I'm trying to encourage you. But if you can't see your victory, if you can't imagine the reward that God has for you, you'll never have it. You'll walk in defeat. You'll walk in all these other things because you're not seeing what God wants you to see. Man, I've heard the prophecies and the words that you have been given. You know, oftentimes I feel when I hear a prophet of God come in and give a word to someone, I feel sometimes I get more excited over your word than you do. And it's because I can imagine it for you, but you can't imagine it for yourself. You can't imagine what God wants for you, but he wants these things, and we need these things to happen in the body of Christ. We need these things to take place because it will fulfill the kingdom. It will fulfill the kingdom. I'm imagining a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. How many of you are imagining that? It's hard to imagine that when you see the news and when you hear how bad the world is. It's hard to imagine God pouring out his Spirit and his people being blessed. But if you read the Word, if you feed yourself the Word of God, you begin to see what God has in store for his people. He has good things in store for his people. He has good things in store for you. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what trial you're facing, but I know God has good things in store for you. I want you to know you're not here by accident. God wants to build and increase your faith today. He wants you to see what he has for you today. As I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 6. It says, when I am among mature believers, I do not speak with words of wisdom. I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. No mind has imagined what God has prepared for you. Oh, it's hard for you to imagine what God has prepared for you. You know, oftentimes I believe if God actually showed you, if he showed me the plans he had for us, we would probably be afraid of it. We'd be scared of it because it would be so big and that we would look at ourselves and think we're too small to do what God wanted us to do. That's why I think when we get to heaven, he begins to show us the impact that we've had on the world. And we go, wow, I had that impact. But if that pressure was put on you now, it'd probably feel overwhelming. We'd probably realize we can't do it on our own. And you know what? We can't. But no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Well, like I said, that's what I imagine for you, is that you could understand what God has freely given you. It says, and when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. I want to pause and tell you something. Sometimes when you're given a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, it's not that we're just trying to build you up and make you feel good. It's not because I thought you had a frown on your face and I was just thinking of a way to turn it upside down. That ain't it. It's because the Spirit of God wants to speak through your leadership, your teachers, your apostles, your pastors, your prophets, and speak to you the Word of God into your life so that you can, your faith can begin to grow and you can see how God is speaking to you and has a greater plan for you. But oftentimes we hear and go, well, you know, that's just your words and you don't understand what I'm going through. I may not, but God sure does. And this word of his, this word of God that we read, that we preach from, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the Alpha, and he is the Omega, he is the beginning, and he is the end. That means you're somewhere in between, and he knows what's going on in your life. And he cares for everything that's going on in your life. So we have to begin to listen to those who the Spirit leads. Who the Spirit leads. You don't need to listen to false teachers. You don't need to listen to those that give you only human words and wisdom and try to speak over your head and try to impress you with some fancy word. No, you need the Word of God in your life. We don't need to add something special to this, and we certainly don't need to take anything away from it. Because this Word of God is true. Verse 14 says, but people who aren't spiritual, hello, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. All as mature believers in the Lord, we have to have the mind of Christ. We can't be foolish and blind to the things like the world is. We can scratch our head all day long and not understand why people see things the way they see them and understand the way they do. If they're not spiritual, they're not going to understand them. You know, if you're not spiritual, it doesn't make sense on paper. Tithing. Oh, but if you're spiritual, it makes sense. Because I know those that have tested it and tried it. I have seen the testimonies. I have heard the stories. I've seen the bank accounts that don't make sense at budget, but all of a sudden have money left over at the end of the month. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual thing. And those that are mature believers that are spiritual, understand spiritual truths. And it's time that the church gets mature in the things of the Lord. Why are you doing this discipleship thing, Pastor? So that we grow down deep in our roots and get mature in the things of the Lord. It's important that we grow. That we grow. Each and every person, we still have growth. We have to develop our mind, that it is the mind of Christ. Because it's easy to have our own mind. It's easy to focus on the things we want. It's easy to watch TV and see our neighbors and see the things that they have and begin to let our mind wander and get off focus. Biggest mistakes people make is because they get off focus. They stop focusing on the things above and begin to focus on what they see around them. But if you have the mind of Christ, if our mind is set on the things above, God is revealing His spiritual truths to you every day. You're walking in the spiritual truths of God. I don't want to walk in foolishness. Man, I don't want people to see me like the world and walking in foolishness and blindness. Blind to the things going on around me. I see the things going on around me, but I know the spiritual truths. And I know what God said His people can have. That's what I want for you. Our imagination needs to be cultivated and disciplined. But ultimately, how many of you know our imagination needs to be redeemed? Our imaginations need to be redeemed. There's only one thing that can redeem our imagination. And that is when we focus on that Christ died on a cross and rose again so that we could be a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means old things are passed away, and behold, all things, I said all things, have become new. When you begin to focus and you get that word in your spirit, your imagination can be redeemed. Your life can be redeemed. Your past can be redeemed. You can be redeemed when you focus on the things that God has for you. Stop living in the ways of the world and start living for the things of God. It's not hard. We make it harder. We go, well, you don't know. I know. I've been there. Stop living in the things of the world and start living with the things of God. If you set your mind on these things, you can do it. God has good in store for His people. We need to immerse ourselves in God's Word and invoke our imagination and allow the Holy Spirit to bring this redemption to our lives. When you read God's Word and you begin to see the imaginative descriptions in His Word, your mind can then begin to focus on what God has in store for you, His people, His children, right? Oh, if we could just see the spiritual truths, just have the mind of the Lord. Albert Einstein said, logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere. Well, I understand his point of view, and he may be right, but I want you to understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I began to put my imagination to all things, oh, there's nothing that I can't have. There's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing that can't be redeemed. Do you understand? But our imagination has to begin to see God at work. He wants to redeem our imagination because I believe He wants to give you that vision and that dream of what He's promised you. I want you to see the reward. I know there are people here today, you need to see, you need to believe that your children will come to know the Lord. Yeah, it's easy to see the troubles and the things that they're in. It's easy to see how they run from the Lord. It's easy to see the situations they're in. But you need to believe in the redemption power of the Holy Spirit and know and begin to have a vision, a dream for salvation coming to your household. Don't speak negative over it. Don't speak evil over it. Don't speak curses over your children. Speak blessings. Speak the things of God. Speak the promises of God over your life. Don't speak negative. Speak blessings. Don't say you'll never be able to purchase a house or never be able to get a car or never be able to get a good job because of your past. God can redeem those situations. All you have to do is set your mind on things above. He's looking out for His children. He cares for them. He has good things in store. And all things can be done with the power of the Holy Spirit who strengthens you. He'll give you the strength to stand in the gap. He'll give you the strength to stand in front of that obstacle. He'll give you the strength to have faith when you get a bad report from the doctor. He will give you the strength that you need. And how many of you know, We all need God's strength. There's not a person in this place that doesn't need the strength of God. You may be going through something different than I am, but I'm going through something different than you are, right? And I need God's strength to get through it. I need His wisdom. I need His direction, just like you do. So what I've got to do is no different than what you've got to do. I got to set my mind on things above. And I got to reclaim my imagination that God has. Oh, I believe big things for this church. I believe big things for Bardstown. Amen? I know the things that God has spoken over this place. I have seen the things God has spoken over you. And there's many that are here today, and maybe I don't know what God has promised you. But you do. Oh, deep down in your spirit, you know. You know that promise. You know that thing you're standing on. I want to let you know God has given you the strength to see that thing come to pass in your life. Amen? All we have to do is engage our faith and believe. Because He works all things together for good for those that believe Him. Amen? How many know God's word is true? How many believe this for you today? Hallelujah. I want you to grow in your imagination. I want you to take your thoughts captive and realize that God has dreams and visions for His people. Amen? I want to invite our apostle to come as he closes us today.
Amen. Give the Lord a praise clap for that word. How many this week have been challenged that through this word that you're going to start looking at things a little different? Amen? Looking at yourself as a head, not the tail, above and not beneath. That's what the Lord declares over you. You know, the Lord wants you to be blessed. And so we speak His blessings over you today. We thank you for coming to church. We pray that it's been uplifting. We pray that you've got something today that not only can I see, sometimes we get a word that'll let us make it through the week. We don't want you just to make it through the week. We want you to run victorious through this week. Amen? Amen. So that next week you come back pumped, ready for something, but do something for the Lord this week. But have your imagination on Him. David, you retired, but you're not finished yet. You still got things to do. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your much blessings upon us. We thank you for being gracious to us, Lord Father. Father, we ask that you would cause your face to shine upon each and every one here this week. We ask you to bless them. We ask, Lord, whatever they put their hands to this week will be prosperous. Lord, we ask you, Lord, Father God, to guide and to lead us, Lord, Father God, in your truth. And Lord, Father God, we pray that you would touch each person with divine health today. Lord, touch them with their finances. Bless them, Lord, Father God. But Lord, we just give you victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.